Yesterday on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll described an awkward personal moment on the slopes of Colorado. For the first time in his life, he clumsily strapped on a couple of skis and tried to stay vertical on his descent down the mountain. Gratefully, a patient and skilled instructor coached his every move, adding verbal reinforcement along the way. Well, today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck use this colorful metaphor to describe the power of relationships. None of us is wired to go through life alone, and all of us crave affirmation. Chuck titled today's message, Strengthening Your Grip on Encouragement.
Today I want to talk about encouragement. The basis of this message is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Now, this letter is written, obviously, to Hebrews. That's why it bears that name, Jews in the first century. If you read the letter carefully, you'll see that these were Jews bruised by adversity. Persecution was running rampant. These were people who were drifting from the faith. They were defeated. Many of them had already defected. In verses 19 down through 25, the writer describes to these hurting Jews what they have as well as what they are to do. Verse 19, since therefore brethren, see these were Christians, brothers and sisters in the family, brethren, since therefore we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which Jesus inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us do several things. First, what do we have? First, we have confidence to approach God. See it in verse 19? We have confidence to enter the holy place. How could we have such confidence? Because of the blood of Jesus. We have confidence to come directly to God. Why? Verse 21, because we have a great priest over the house of God. In light of what we have, there are three things we are expected to do. First, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Verse 22 is a statement of God's presence. We're told to draw near. Verse 23 is a comment about God's promises. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When it comes to the Word of God, the promises in the Word of God, the Scripture says, believe them. Let every other man be called a liar that contradicts what God's Word promises. You stand on the Scriptures. Come close into God's presence. Stand firm on God's promises. Verses 24 and 25 talk about God's people. I'm so glad these verses are here because they put everything in their proper perspective. If they weren't here, we would have the tendency simply to come to a worship service, open the Scriptures, and sit as though we were all alone, sort of like a single bar of light from heaven to earth, giving us direction, and then we close our Bibles like robots and walk out caring nothing about anyone else because we had heard from him, we were claiming his truth, and we were leaving to apply it. Oh, but that's not all there is. It says in verse 24, let us, same word as verse 22, let us draw near, 23, let us hold fast, 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now let me analyze for a while these two verses. They are enlightening verses. First, look at the term consider. It is a word that in its original meaning meant to fix one's mind or one's eye on something. If you are sitting at a red light in your car and you are anxiously awaiting the change of the signal, you consider that light in light of the meaning of this verse. If you are going to a play and your young child is in the play for the first time in her life, and you're the parent sitting out there waiting for her part, you are considering her coming onto the stage. You're fixing your mind or your eye on that one thing. That's what the word means. But this is not referring to a traffic light or to a child in a play. This is referring to the ministry of encouragement. Let us consider how to stimulate one another. Kenneth Wiest, in one of his fine works, says it means to take careful note of each other's welfare. While I was away, two of the single persons at the conference, while they were at the conference, lost everything in the San Bernardino fire. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Aside from the Bible they carried, the clothing on their back, and a few articles of clothing that they brought in luggage, they return home to nothing. A number of the staff persons, as we have already announced here in this ministry at the beginning of our service, and it thrilled me to have it announced, a number of the staff persons that have their homes and all of their earthly belongings up in the San Bernardino area have lost everything. Everything has burned down to smoldering embers on a flat concrete slab, and there is nothing left but memories. Nothing. When verse 24 says, consider how to stimulate one another, and it has in mind taking note of each other's welfare, it means not just taking note of it and announcing it, but doing something about it. It would thrill me, and more important than me, it would thrill our Lord to have our room overflowing with belongings that we bring to help these friends who hurt. And there are so many other needs. That one happens to be in the headlines these days, and so it's of great importance to everyone who hears such an announcement. But do you realize that some of the most intense needs in a family of God as large as ours will never make the headlines? Needs for a word of encouragement, needs for someone to care, to pick us up on the slope, as it were, and to help us back on our feet and give us assuring comments such as, I believe in you. You can do it. You may have fallen, but I'm here and we'll help you down. You'll go again. You'll make it. You'll learn the skill. It'll take time, and I'm here to help you patiently, to help you learn how to do it. Notice the specifics of this, considering love and good deeds. Our desire in encouraging other people is to stimulate them toward excelling in greater love and increasing in good deeds. God knows that's needed in this cold world. How many people do you know in that society out there who really take you on as an object of encouragement? You can't name five. It's a harsh, bitter, hostile place to endure. We need the encouragement of one another, or He wouldn't command it of us. How can it be implemented? How do I encourage? How do I stimulate someone else to love and good deeds? The next verse gives us a negative and then a positive. Negatively, by not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. We live in a free-spirited arena here in Southern California. I notice that it is also sweeping across the better part of America. It has been on the continent already for years. Sort of, who really cares about worship? We flip a coin, and if I feel like it, I go, and if I don't, I don't. If it's good weather, I'm prompted to do it, perhaps. If it's not, I'll wait till maybe next Sunday. If it's some certain speaker that I want to hear, then I'll go. If it's not, then I'll not go. But this is a command. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Obviously, the purpose is not to hear a particular speaker or to do something that is necessarily convenient for ourselves. I'll tell you, it'll revolutionize your church attendance if you stop to think that your presence is partly to encourage someone else. Talk about changing our perspective. How about getting dressed on Sunday morning thinking, Lord God, and I'm serious, Lord God, today I wonder whom you would have me encourage. Rather than tightening our tie, men, thinking, I wonder what he's going to say today. Or ladies, wondering, I wonder if he's going to understand my world. Isn't it significant that our whole frame of reference often is someone come to minister to me rather than, Lord, how might I minister to someone else? Negatively, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Positively, but encouraging one another. I want to camp on the word encouraging for a moment. It comes from a combination of two words, para, meaning beside or alongside, and kaleo, which means to call alongside. You may have heard the term paraclete in days past as reference to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will leave this earth, but I will send another parakletos. I will send one alongside whom I will call to help you. In other words, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come alongside the child of God and to help us. And who of us hasn't benefited from his presence on occasion? When no one else was around, he came alongside and assisted us. I find it terribly significant that the same term in root form is used for our ministry of encouraging one another. When you encourage someone else, you are coming as close as you can to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some of you say, oh, I'll just pray for that person. But the verse says that we're to assemble together. So prayer isn't all that God asks. Some say, well, okay, then I'll trust God to use the music and the preacher to do the job of encouraging. But it says, not forsaking our own assembling together. Some say, well, I'm kind of shy. I'm not a very good mixer. I'll leave that to somebody else. But it says we are to encourage one another. I don't know quite how to make the bridge strong enough between this pulpit and your ears today. But I'm not going to quit until that message is communicated. And in return, it's understood and ready to be applied. You see, we don't need a lot more sermons on the importance of encouragement. I think most of us are convinced it's needed. We need a lot more involvement in it. So let me answer two or three or four questions from the Scriptures, okay? The first question that would come to my mind if I were sitting where you're sitting right now is this encouragement just to be done on Sundays, or is it to be done more often than that? Good question. Look at chapter 3 of this same book, and let's answer it in verses 12 and 13. Okay? Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Take care. How do I keep others from falling away from the living God? What can I do? Verse 13, I can encourage others day after day. As long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You realize that some people are dangerously near the edge of defection? You realize that a word of encouragement given in due season will be what is needed to put them back on track? There have been times I have been so very low, not feeling at all like preaching, being a part of a Sunday ministry, and I will come, and it's remarkable how the presence of two or three people or a particular word from an individual said sincerely and briefly to me will simply turn my whole spirit around. Well, I'm not alone. That happens to a number of you. We will cluck our tongues and frown towards someone who is about to defect and say, not a word of encouragement. Ready to pounce with slanderous comments, but not ready just before the fact to say, hey, my friend, I've noticed this is a struggling time. Can I help? I really believe in you. I really want to be part of an answer. I want to come alongside. What do you need? I want to reach out to you. I care. No, it's not just once a Sunday. It's not just on Sunday. It's a day by day, according to verse 13 of Hebrews 3. Another question. Listen to this. Do I wait and watch for a hint from someone and then I respond to that, or do I initiate it? Another good question. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. I think it's clear from Romans 14, 19 that the answer is I initiate the action. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. That's a direct command. Let us pursue. Go after. Interestingly, when my ski teacher came alongside to help, and that was frequently, I remind you, she did not wait for me to ask some things that I might have done wrong. She was right there initiating information that would help me the next time around. She pursued that through the hours of that day, continually not letting me get away with the wrong habits or maneuvers that would work against the skill of skiing. This verse says to pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. We take the initiative. Another question, is it necessary for me, if I'm going to encourage someone, to do something extensive? Or is it possible to encourage just by a word or two? Turn to Proverbs chapter 12, please, verse 18. And then we'll look across the page at another one similar to it. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Great verse. Look at 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. It's not even in the plural. A good word. Turn to Proverbs 15, verse 23. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. When you come alongside to help someone, you come with a well-timed word, and you deposit that word in the ear gate sincerely. It may be only a few words. It may be only one or two. I was reading in Leadership magazine a very interesting project that's being carried on in a church in Salem, Oregon. This project is what is called in that church encouragement cards. stuffed in the hymn rack in the particular church we're referring to are postcard size cards. At the top of the one side, it says, encouraging one another. On the other side, there is a place for a name. And people who gather in this particular church, before the worship actually gets underway, will take out a card. Some will be praying. Others will be reading a portion of Scripture to prepare their heart. Some will take out this card, and they will write the name of a person on it that they want to encourage. No address, just the name. Someone in the assembly. On the other side of that card, there is a place for that individual to write a sentence or two or three. It may be someone who is sick and in need of a word of encouragement. It may be someone who is struggling, who's hurting. It may be an individual who has lost a partner in life or a close friend. They've gone through grief in recent days. It might be just someone lays on your heart, the Lord lays on your heart. And you always sign it. You always sign your note. It may be one sentence, something like, I love you, I believe in you, call me if I can help. Signed, and you put your name. These cards are collected, and that week on Tuesday, some church staff personnel take these cards and add the addresses, stamp them, and mail them. Some people receive several cards. In fact, the pastor who wrote this particular note says that it's interesting in visiting in hospitals, he'll see six or eight of those cards sitting there. Some people put them on the mirror in their bathroom to remind them of it. Some people want to plaster their walls with them. It's a word of encouragement. Some carry them around with them. When you write down the encouragement, it can be read over and over again, unlike words that are spoken that quickly fade. Isn't that an interesting ministry? He adds, some say it will get old and will lose its punch, and then says, we've been involved in this process for 9 years, and it is more effective and meaningful today than ever before.
Few things are more powerful than a written or spoken word of encouragement. You're listening to Insight for Living, and a message from Chuck Swindoll. You'll find us online at insightworld.org. We'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment, so please stay with us. First, though, it's possible you're listening today, and you're not the one who needs to write the handwritten note. Truth be known, you're the one who desperately needs someone to come alongside you. You're longing for an affirming word from someone you respect. Well, Chuck preached a sermon called Hope, Expect Great Things from God. And if you've never contacted Insight for Living, we'd like to send you a printed copy of Chuck's message. We're confident the biblical wisdom in this booklet can help you, and it's perfectly suited to pass along to a friend in need as well. Just ask for the booklet on hope. If you're listening in the United States, call right now 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/hope. Well, Hebrews 10 called us to stimulate one another in love and good deeds. Chuck?
I've been involved in church ministry the majority of my life. And as the shepherd of a flock and a hands-on spiritual leader of a dynamic congregation, the more I've come to realize the profundity of three simple words. Jesus used them. Love one another. Not complicated. Not unclear, but it's still our biggest challenge. Love one another. Our complicated culture is filled with distractions and mixed agendas. So, what does loving one another truly look like? What does that mean? Rather than theorize or give a lot of personal opinions, my friend Don McMahon went straight to Scripture. He found 20 references in the New Testament that provide us with the answer. As a result, he wrote a helpful book called Love One Another, 20 Practical Lessons. The Bible says, love one another, accept one another, honor one another, comfort one another, serve one another. When you're ready to take your friendships to a whole new level, I mean one that's authentic and enduring, then I highly commend reading Don's excellent work. The book is titled Love One Another. It's written by Pastor Don McMinn.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And here's how to receive a copy. When you give a donation of any amount to Insight for Living, simply call or go online and request the book Love One Another. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Perhaps you've been listening to Chuck's encouraging messages on this program, and it's been a long time since you've stopped to pass along your affirmation to Insight for Living. Your handwritten note or phone call or donation would mean so much today. This program is prepared with you in mind, and so we'd love to hear an encouraging word from you today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. Insight for Living is entirely listener-supported, and we're grateful for your donation of any amount. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 and online go to insight.org. You'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue his message, Strengthening Your Grip on Encouragement, Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Strengthening Your Grip on Encouragement, was copyrighted in 1980, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.